Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a CadSource family production. In this episode, we discuss how sports bring people together, understanding your market, and throwing the perfect tailgate. Our guest today is John Michalek. John is the co-founder of Game Day Hospitality. Game Day Hospitality is the ultimate source for sports hospitality services, including tailgating experiences and more. John looks to improve experiences at sports events around the country. He currently lives in Richmond, Virginia, and spends most of the year hustling and traveling to events, especially during the football season. With John's compelling stories from the sports world to his love of the hustle, you can imagine our excitement to have John on this podcast. Let's bring him in, John Michalek. John, welcome to the Entrepreneur Perspectives podcast. It is great to have you today.
Great to be here.
So here we are, bringing people together, and we like to talk about sports bringing people together. And on Sportspreneur, we wrote an article, and it's been probably one of the articles that has been the most noticed and the most talked about, and people just really understanding what sports is all about, why sports matter, why sports don't matter, and that kind of makes them matter, right? The whole thing. And here you are, John, and you're running in the business world and a sports company and sports companies, I should say, talking about tailgates and talking about all these different things. And you're one of the reasons that bring people together at a sporting event. So tell us like your world and tell us like why it's so important to you that sports matter so much and that you have this whole tailgate experience and everything else you have going on in the business world.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, sports bring everybody together. It's great to have a kind of common topic when you're going to a sporting event, and something everybody can kind of talk about, whether you're on one side or the other. It kind of creates a natural rivalry as well between opposing fans, and creates kind of that immediate discussion point and conversation piece when you run into people. We always think that the tailgate is kind of the place that brings everybody together, because we run multi-hundred person tailgate experiences, pregame parties, and kind of brings a huge mix of people from all over the country together. And it's amazing how everybody gets along, no matter if it's opposing teams, and kind of has that common point of we're here just to relax, have a good time, and just talk sports and have a great experience without thinking about anything else. It's kind of that escape from the world for the day or for the week or wherever it is where you're just focused on sports especially football. I mean, football Saturdays and football Sundays kind of bring everybody together. It's like kind of that common place for a sports fan.
That's absolutely right. And I mean, I have friends that actually, they like to tailgate more than the game itself. So they like to come hang out and, you know, whether it's grill food and make some drinks and play catch or whatever it is that you want to do. But there's this whole part of like the tailgate experience, and part of the fun of it is actually getting ready for the tailgate experience sometimes. But, you know, in business, you only have so much time, and, you know, people have kids or they have other activities that they're into. So it's like, you can't take, let's talk about NFL for a second. You can't take your Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening all the time to prepare for your Sunday meal and the pregame festivities at the game. So what can you and your company provide to make my life easier, to kind of like give me my time back so I can just show up at your event? You talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so everything we do is just show up. I mean, everything you could possibly do, whether you're a local fan that just doesn't have the time, still wants a great experience, whether you're an opposing fan coming in to the game, or an out-of-town displaced fan that wants to come back for a game and you want to have that tailgate experience. Nobody wants to tailgate with one, two, three, four people. You want to have a great experience. So if you don't have that large group, we also provide that that place to go where you can interact with a whole variety of fans and have a great experience. So our costs are a spectrum of events. We have tailgate experiences. We have pregame parties. Our pregame parties are generally our neutral site college football games. So our college football kickoff games, our conference championship pregames, our bowl game pregames, our championship pregames, where it's usually an indoor venue with a full experience, and it's usually 4 to 5 hours, whereas our tailgate experiences are usually our outdoor events. That's how we kind of distinguish them. Our tailgate experiences are 3 to 4 hours. All of our events are all you can eat, all you can drink, full experience, DJ or band, the full tailgate games, everything you could possibly need for tailgating without that hassle. But we're friendly enough that that you could bring your kids, you could bring prospective clients, you could bring employees to it, or you could just bring your buddies and have a great experience no matter what. It's not a frat party. It's a great experience where you have that premium experience without without all the craziness going on. You still have a great time, but you have none of the hassle. You just show up right at the start time or whenever you want, and you can come and go as you please. And it works pretty well for people all over. And I mean, it's just a great experience, especially, I know you guys are in Charlotte, where parking is so hard to come by for tailgating. You might be stuck in a parking garage or a half mile away, where this, you can kind of come as close as possible, get a great tailgate experience, go right into the game. Or if you live in a city like Charlotte uptown and you don't have space for all your tailgating gear, you can just walk to the tailgate, walk to the game and not have to worry about anything.
Yeah, no. And what's interesting about that is like you just said, the city of Charlotte is a difficult environment to tailgate in, where if you go to like Buffalo, New York, where you were born and raised or born, and then you moved on from there, but remained a Bills and Sabres fan, of course, right? As we all do when we're born in Buffalo, and we're not chosen that life. We're just given that life and we have to suffer through it. Right. But you know,
it's hard to get away from that life.
It is hard. And I think that is certainly something we need to continue to chat about. But the tailgate experience, like I said before, there's so much time that goes into it. So you're creating it and you're giving me my time back. And so I would imagine you have a lot of, not corporate, but business, you know, people that have other things going on that don't necessarily have the time to put a tailgate together, but still want to have that tailgate experience.
As far as the demographics go, it's a good bit business. We have a lot of sponsors and things like that that kind of bring the business side, where you can almost create a sponsorship and a marketing cost out of tailgating and creating and bringing clients and get marketing beyond just the tailgate, because we'll market across our whole platform. But we get the majority of our fans are and attendees are just the average fan that's just looking for a great experience. We get a lot of out-of-town fans. One of our best examples is in Buffalo. We get a huge Canadian fan base of people that are sick of getting stuck at the border, driving over every day with all their tailgate gear getting searched, when they just want to drive in and get there and have no hassle. They're already driving an hour or two from Ontario or wherever to tailgate, and they just want to kind of get in there, get the great experience, not have to drag anything. Go in the game and have a good time. And that's kind of where our Buffalo type of tailgate comes in. Like you were saying, there's a lot of space there. It's not necessarily the local crowd that has their same tailgate space for the last 30 years. It's a lot of the fans that are from beyond there. You obviously have a wide fan base of the Bills. So you have everybody that goes back for that one game, or the people that live in Syracuse or Erie or wherever that are coming back or driving in for each game. And, already have enough of a commute in the morning. They don't want to have to deal with setting up and breaking down a tailgate when they might be only one or two people and can just come in with our hundreds of people and have a great experience.
Yeah. So, and you're talking about, to just that example, you talked about Buffalo and you talked about Charlotte, and then you've talked about, you know, the bigger college football games, for example. Those are different cities. They're different, completely different markets with different people. And, you know, you're talking about, like, and you have a pulse on it, right? Because you're talking exactly what you're saying is fans coming in from Canada. You know, that's a pulse of that market. And people in Charlotte, and they might not be from Charlotte, but they're coming, they're Packer fans, for example, and they're coming to watch the Packers and the Panthers play, but they don't live in Charlotte, but they're 5 hours from there, so they need some help there.
Do live in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Because Charlotte's such a transplant yep. city. Like when the Bills were in Charlotte last year, I mean, it was probably 30% Bills fans there. I mean, there's those teams that Charlotte's such a transplant city with a lot of people from the north that you actually get a lot of those fans that are just in the market already, but they're not everyday Panthers fans. Right. They might not stock all their tailgating gear because they're not used to going to a game every year, or they're going back to wherever they're from. So we do get a lot of that where it's the fans that are in those markets that have waited the 8 years for their AFC team to come back, or their 3 to 4 years for their NFC team to come back. And unless they're lucky enough to like another NFC East team, for example, or NFC South team. But there's those type of audiences that attend. It's a wide variety. I mean, it's hard to just corner in on one space. There's just a lot of people that are looking for a premium tailgate experience without all the hassle involved.
How do you stay so? Because all the things that you're saying are spot on with like the pulse, like I said before, the pulse of it. Like you understanding how transient Charlotte is, and obviously you're spending time here, and the more time you spend here, I guess it's experience. But how do you stay in tune with that and understand how this fan base likes to, I'm not going to say party or hang out or whatever that they want to do, and understanding the types of people that are actually going to show up to these events, and then actually reaching out to them and marketing to them to say, this is, yeah, let us take a lot of this hassle away from you and give you this game day experience that you're looking for. How are you and your team doing that?
On the marketing front, we've been pretty good with marketing specifically to the fan bases. Obviously with online advertising the way it is, you can advertise to every Patriots fan that lives in the state of North Carolina or whatever it is. You can get very targeted to the fan base. But we also have great ticket partners like StubHub, et cetera, that place our tailgate experience similar to a parking category as close as possible to the people that are actually looking for game tickets. So we kind of get almost direct to the people that are actually looking for tickets and are more targeted to go to the game. Whereas if you just advertise to all Panthers fans in the state of North Carolina, less than like 0.5% of those people are actually going to a game. Whereas if you're a Bills fan in North Carolina, and that you've been waiting 8 years, chances are there's a higher percentage of those people that are going to be at that Panthers Bills game, for example. So we've kind of found that space. And once people have gone to an event and felt the experience and how easy it is and how great the experience is, they tend to come back. I know we had some repeat markets last year, even in our college experience, where we got the Alabamas in the national championship and in our kickoff. We got the Auburns that were at the SEC championship and at the national championship. We got some of those fan bases that we saw multiple times and have kind of grown and come back because it is such a great experience. And obviously Atlanta is probably our biggest market for the championship events because it is such a great championship town and we have such a great experience there and some great venues we partner with. Unfortunately, we don't do the Falcons games because Georgia alcohol laws are still at 12:30 on Sundays. So it's not possible to serve alcohol there, but on Sundays. But we've created these championship style experiences and have started to grow beyond our normal markets, beyond football. We did a semifinal pregame party down in San Antonio this year before the Final Four. So we had fans. That was probably the trickiest event we've put on, with it being the furthest from us and with the closest sports team in the Final Four being 16-hour drive away in Kansas. And with teams coming from obviously Michigan, Chicago, and Villanova and Philly, it was a widespread marketing effort to get people and target right to the people that are coming to San Antonio. So there definitely are some challenges when you're going into a new market or dealing with teams or finding out which four teams will actually be there a week before. But we've kind of streamlined our marketing efforts and have gotten pretty good at getting to the fan bases that are trying to come to our event.
Yeah. And so so let's say there's message boards that exist, and now the current day message board a lot of times happens to be the social media, Twitter, Facebook, and these different platforms where you can directly market to those fans. Like you're saying, if I live in Raleigh, for example, and I know the Bills are coming here and I'm from Buffalo, like you said, I'm making a 2.5-hour drive to Charlotte to go watch the Bills play because that's
exactly
one in eight years I can go see that take place. How are you using social media? What are the different tools besides? And maybe it's not using social media. Maybe it's I go to the event, I post it on my Instagram page, and a friend of mine sees it. He's like, well, I live in San Antonio and I'd love to get these guys out to the Final Four. How does that all work out?
Yeah, so social media has a big presence on social media beyond just our normal social media accounts where we're posting every day or every couple times a week. We actually market, obviously, in the online marketing space where you can market to everybody that physically likes the Carolina Panthers on Facebook, and you could target it down to whatever age group you want. And we can get pretty close to marketing exactly to them. But like you were saying about the 1 in 8 year situations, you have fan bases, like for the Bills, it's the Bills backers, where there's those fan bases, there's those clubs in every single city. So there's people that when the Panthers are in Charlotte, they're coming from Washington, D.C., they're coming from Richmond, Virginia, they're coming from Raleigh, they're coming from Greenville, they're coming from Columbia, they're coming from wherever it is, Atlanta, to come to Charlotte, or for example. And some of those groups are bringing buses full of people. So there's definitely a whole outside of the message board type thing. I know with the Final Four, we were big on getting into the message boards for those teams and on the fan sites and getting in there and trying to get the word out through those. The Final Four, the College Football Championship are two different animals. I mean, they're two completely different animals compared to our regular marketing strategy, because you have 6, 7, 8 days from when you find out who's actually in it to market to the fans, to sell out all your tickets, and then to put on the event. For the most part, obviously there's people that will go to those events no matter who the teams are, but those tickets were already sold months ago. It's the that last minute effort of getting out there. So like the college football is a little easier because you know the four teams, you know the four possible combinations you can have in that or the three possible four possible champion combinations you can have, the four teams, and we just market to them the entire month of December. So when the teams come around, you have the Georgia and Alabama fans or whoever it is buying those tickets almost instantly because they know it's going to sell out. But the Final Four, I mean, a week out, you know, 16 teams. A week and a half out, you have 16 possible teams that could possibly be there in a bunch of different combinations. And
right, it's 5 days, like, right?
Almost nobody's ever had a perfect graphic.
That's right. You end on Sunday, and the Final Four is on the following Saturday. Yeah. And then you guys have to get out there. So, I mean, you have a lot going on because are you going, then were you in San Antonio for the Final Four in that example?
Yes, I was. So that was a different experience. I was the only game day team member there in San Antonio. We used all local staff. We had a great venue. We actually overlooked the Riverwalk on one side. We were on an upstairs, awesome, massive venue there that overlooked the Riverwalk on one side and the Alamo on the other side. So it's the perfect views and awesome venue there inside, but with balconies. And we were right in the heart of everything. Two blocks from us was the big block party with all the major concerts going on, and then the convention center, then the stadium. But, yeah, I mean, that was the first event outside the Eastern time zone we had done. And we'll be going even further this year. We have Santa Clara coming up with the national championship out there in California. We have a great venue there right across the street from the stadium, actually, where we'll be maybe 40 yards away from the entrance to the stadium with an indoor and outdoor space. So we're going to start to grow and reach different destinations. We'll be back. We're going to be doing the basketball again this year in Minneapolis as well. So there's going to be a lot of new markets that kind of grow out of this. We just launched a partnership in Jacksonville with the company Party Shack. They create one-of-a-kind tailgate suites. So it's actually air-conditioned tailgate suites for the parking lot, where in a 20-by-20 footprint, you can fit an indoor tailgate area, a rooftop deck, and a canopy that comes out, and you can fit up to 50 people in these tailgate suites. So we have a whole village right on the Jacksonville Jaguars stadium property that you can rent out for a group, or we have a couple of the units where it's an all-inclusive tailgate experience, just like in our other markets, but with air conditioning and DJ and everything. And it's kind of going to revolutionize where we're going with some of the tailgating experiences, because the number one thing in Jacksonville or some of the other Florida markets is the heat. And if you can hop into an air conditioned unit and be instantly cooled down and have that premium experience while everybody else is trying to put a fan up or whatever it takes to cool down, it definitely improves your experience.
Yeah, I can imagine that, you know, going to the games down in just Charlotte. You've been to games before where, like, the Bills game, for example, I think that was week two, and half the crowd went inside, you know, especially at the club level. I know friends that actually left the stadium because they're on the sunny side, and they couldn't take it anymore. It was unbearably hot. That was during the game, but no different than the pregame as well. So let's say I have some buddies and we want to go and we want to, you know, reach out to you, and maybe there's not enough of us, right? Maybe there's 8 to 10, or is that enough? And do you partner it up with other people? Like, what is the number of people that someone should have in looking for this event? Because a lot of times it's assumed, well, if I want to throw this huge tailgate event, I need, you know, 50 people to show up. And sometimes we're just not looking to surround ourselves with 50 people. We just want to go out with our group of friends and watch the Bills and the Panthers play, for example.
So almost all of our events are just one giant party, one giant pregame party for hundreds of people. So you could be one person, you could be two people, you could be a group of four, whatever it is, and come, or you could be a group of 50 people that says, hey, I want my own private area for our group. So we've had some different experiences there with different levels. So you could be one person that happens to be in town when there's a Thursday night football game and is like, what the hell? Even if you aren't going to the game, you can still have a pretty cool experience there. And we have TVs and all that stuff around the tailgate experience. So if it is a 4 o'clock game on Sunday or an 8:30 game, you're watching the Red Zone channel, you're watching all the other games going on while you're at the tailgate. So you're kind of connected to the world. And I know the worst part of going to a game on game day is not knowing what's going on everywhere else.
Yep.
So you're kind of connected if it's one of those later games. And so it's as low as one person. Like I said, with the Jacksonville, we have the private suites, which are usually groups of 20 to 50. But we also have the all-inclusive tailgate area in the same village, where you could be one person if you want.
Yeah,
to buy an individual ticket.
And you're keeping it kid friendly too, right? I mean, that's another issue a lot of people
exactly.
have had. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Cause nobody wants to, I mean, obviously a lot of people have their family tickets or whatever it is. Or they want to bring father son time. And I mean, even if it's your son's 18 years old, a lot of places that are 21 plus, you can't even go in there. So we try to keep it family friendly. Obviously everybody's wristbanded differently. We're responsible with it all, on the ABC side, but, we still have that great experience where you could bring your family, you could bring kids, you could bring your clients or customers and not feel like it's a crazy party. That's not up to the professional level as well. But still have a good time, just like everybody wants to have. A fun, safe time, but a great experience.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So now real quick, and we'll get more into this stuff because this is interesting to us because we're always looking for the game day experience. And then, you know, people are going to start asking us about it. And I'm sure we go to the website, but real quick, tell us, like, how does pricing work for this?
Yeah, so we have different pricing in different markets. It kind of just depends on, obviously, venues and costs and different options.
So we're looking at Charlotte, for example, and we're just looking for a regular season game in Charlotte. And Charlotte's an expensive market. It's an expensive ticket. It's getting become more of an expensive city. But if ballpark, right, like that obviously can change. Like you said, all of a sudden the Steelers are in town and there's huge demand. I would imagine that's a more expensive than if, like, the Kansas City Chiefs are here.
We actually keep most of our full seasons. We keep pretty consistent on price.
Okay.
We usually charge the exact same, no matter who's in town. Maybe if we had a home playoff game, we might change it. It's all based on demand. If you're selling out every single game, obviously the price can start to go up. But Charlotte, for example, a mid-tier ticket's around $50 for all of your food, drinks, beverages included. Everything for the 3 or 4 hours before the game, whether it's a Sunday or an afternoon game. Obviously in Charlotte, North Carolina alcohol starts at 10 a.m., so it's only 3 hours before the game for alcohol. But last year we still started our tailgate at 9. The first hour, there's just no alcohol poured. You could still get your food and get some non-alcoholic beverages and still kind of hang out if you were there that early. And then the alcohol started at 10. Obviously, Thursday night, Monday night games, we started at 4. So
okay.
You still got the full 4 hours. But the pricing depends on the market. Again, the average regular season game is a little bit cheaper than a VIP ticket for the college football championship game. There's obviously a scale there, and it's all based on demand and the cost to put on some of the events, because we are using big venues in some cases and are dealing with higher priced alcohol and higher priced food if we're having to purchase it from the venue. So there's obviously that cost involved.
Okay. Well, what I think is amazing is you are the game day experience, and people are going to games more than ever before. A lot of people, certainly, like you said before, they don't want to miss out. They don't want to, like, fantasy football, or they want to watch all the other college or NFL games that are going on at the same time. But you're providing that experience where you can show up and you can watch it and you can interact with other people and you can bring your friends, you can bring your family, you can bring your coworkers or clients. And I think you're taking the game day experience to another level. And certainly this has been going on for a while, and you can, when you go to a stadium and you can walk around a little bit, you'll see different experiences happening, and you're kind of, you know, getting a true pulse of the market. That's what's interesting to me the most, is you understand that we're just talking about just a couple of them, and you can touch on a lot more of, you know, first of all, how far away is Kansas, right? That's an easy lookup, but understanding what does that mean for the people, or understanding that people coming from Canada going to the Bills game, or how do people live in Charlotte that are Bills fans or other fans of other teams, and what does that mean in the transient town? So you're obviously doing your research, you're utilizing social media, and this doesn't just apply to your business. I think this applies to all their other entrepreneurs as well as they're building their business. So I appreciate you coming on here and not only sharing a fascinating topic with us, which is around football, which we all love football and sports, and then just enjoying yourself and bringing people together. Like I said before, sports brings people together, and for the better, for the worse, you know, usually it's all for the better. And it's a good escape from, you know, everyday life. And sometimes it's a way to mingle with potential customers. So there's a lot of great things that come from sports. And I think that for you to bring the event to allow people to come together based off of a bigger event, the football game, I think it's a great thing. It's a great business that you're building. So we appreciate you coming on to our podcast and sharing this story and your story. I know you're busy, so we definitely appreciate that. What I want to do now is go into a quicker round, a rapid fire round, or ask you some quick questions, and you come back at us, and then we'll finish it off, and you can let people know at the end how they can get a hold of you and how they can book their next game day experience. Sound good?
Definitely. One quick thing. I know you mentioned clients and at the tailgate events, and we've always told people that you can interact a lot more with a potential client or customer at the tailgate event, drinking a beer, playing cornhole, than you do sitting in a box at the game where everybody's just focused on watching the game. Nobody wants to be interrupted in the middle of the game to try to hear a business pitch. But if you're casually getting to know that potential customer at the tailgate and kind of organically interacting with them, you kind of develop that relationship a lot quicker than if you're interrupting them in between a third and five in the middle of the game, trying to get them, kind of nudging them over. You kind of get that better experience and kind of get to know people a little bit better than you do sitting at a game. And that's what we try to sell people on is that kind of relationship building at the tailgate or the pregame party.
No, and that's it. I mean, we just had someone on here and it was his business and he was a recruiter and he was all about the relationship. And that's what everyone's about. And you're right. You know, I've sat two games last year, one in Buffalo, one in Charlotte, where I was in a box seat, and certain parts of it were great because we're watching it with the fans, and in other parts there is the disruption piece of it. And you have to move away and you can't really see the game. And then you're really like, someone wants to talk about business, but some people are there to actually watch the game. And like you said, we can talk about the game and interact and build that relationship at your experience. So I think you're spot on. I echo what you just said. So going into the rapid fire round, what I'm going to do now is take you out of your current business, game day hospitality, and all your other business related to that. If I were to take you out of that, what career would you be in?
So originally growing up, I always wanted to be an architect, actually in the sports space still. I always wanted to design stadiums, arenas, and big buildings, experiences like that, that had always been kind of a dream. So I'm kind of in a similar space where I'm outside creating that that experience. There's not a ton of people out there that work for sports architecture firms. It's not a common job opening, but that was kind of the dream kind of growing up, was to kind of design massive stadiums and create those awesome venues for the sports world and beyond.
It makes sense. I mean, you're in the sports world, so if you weren't going to be in the way you are now, you would have found another route into it. So it makes a lot of sense. So you're traveling a lot, as you talked about already on here, in San Antonio earlier this year, and I'm sure you've been to a lot of other great cities. If you were to pick one favorite city of yours to travel to, what city would that be?
It's always a tough one. There's so many different cities out there that are great. I don't really have a favorite city to travel to. Obviously the Charlotte, Atlanta, Buffalo's kind of being our big markets I'm in all the time. Charlotte's a great city. Love Charlotte, but I like going to new cities and new experiences and kind of not getting caught up in the tourist stuff, but kind of being able to see some new sites. So San Antonio was my first time this year. That was pretty cool. I mean, the last just 7-8 months, I've probably been in 15 different cities. So, it's kind of hard to pick just one, but there's so many great cities here in the U.S.
Experiencing new things, it's very cool. And you know, you have that type of personality where you got a lot of stuff going on. So that, again, makes a lot of sense. So I'm assuming as you've built your business, maybe you've read a book or read many books. And if you were to recommend one book to another entrepreneur out there that you've read in the past, what book would that be?
So I'm not a very big book guy, honestly, but I'm trying to think. I don't know if one really comes to mind. I'm not a huge reader. I do most of my reading, kind of research and things like that online. I've kind of grown business and taught myself a lot of the different elements of business just reading online. So it's not necessarily books, but a lot of the different stuff that's out there online. I mean, I've taught myself everything from how to build the businesses and to coding and actually coding websites online, just kind of searching, researching through the world of Google, and kind of wanted to know every element of the business and all of the growth and be able to do pretty much everything if I had to. So I've kind of taught myself that way. It's not really an entrepreneurial book or anything out there that's really standing out.
Yeah, but that's it, right? Because like you just said, there's just incredible amount of content and ideas and things that you can learn online. You just go to this thing called Google, right, and start searching it and go to that rabbit hole, excuse me, and you find all these different things. So I think that is
those wormholes that are there's wormholes that are out there. You go to one site and then you're on the 20th site through there, and you kind of just keep researching, and next thing you know, it's 4 a.m. and you've learned everything about whatever topic it is. And obviously there's a lot of good websites and things out there, but even just looking up something quick on Wikipedia or something could turn into 50 Wikipedia pages and you know everything
right.
about a new topic out
yep.
of nowhere.
Yep. You're knee deep. So you're on this podcast. You listen to podcasts in general?
Yeah, I listen to a few podcasts consistently.
Okay.
I kind of like podcasts. I like background noise. I like some different things going on. It's usually sports related. Some of the different sports podcasts out there, and to reach out. I do listen to, I'm on the younger side, so I listen to some of the Barstool Sports type podcasts, like the Pardon My Takes, who's obviously massive out there. They kind of have that fun twist on sports and kind of entertaining and comedy sports side of things. But it's always nice to have background noise when you're working on your computer or something
yep.
in your headphones.
Yep.
Something like that, or I'll listen to the sports radio shows, things like that, the Dan Patricks of the world, and listen to those things as kind of background noise.
Yep.
You always have to know what's going on in sports when you're in this space.
Yeah, I would imagine so. A sports junkie, if you will, and we like that. So are you using the Apple iTunes platform for that, or another platform to listen to podcasts?
Yeah, just Apple iTunes podcast, just the app, and just listening through the podcast app, and there's obviously, I mean, the growth of podcast is crazy in the last so many years. There's so many podcasts out there. Obviously you guys have one as well, but it's kind of that new space where everybody's going into it. And it seems like a lot of famous people are getting into that space. 10 plus years ago, there was only so many people doing podcasts.
That's right.
And there's only so many of those people left today. I know there's like the Bill Burrs of the world, who's probably the one comedy podcast I listen to. He's been doing it for 13 plus years or something like that, or something ridiculous, where they've been doing it every single week. And it's definitely a hustle to get a podcast done consistently like that. And a lot of work goes into it.
It is. And the stat is that of all the podcasts that start, the average length of a podcast is 7 episodes. And so you see that a lot. You see a lot of
really?
People trying to create content. Yeah. Trying to create a podcast. And it is a lot of work. I mean, it's you got to schedule. There's so many different things that go into it. And depending on the different podcasts that you have, there's a lot that goes into it. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. You know, some people monetize their podcasts and they create advertising sponsors on there. And other, you know, there's so many different ways to do it. Right. And it is a fascinating medium that does exist right now that has grown just to another level, like you said. But it's a lot of fun and a lot of good content out there, a lot of good stuff to listen to once you can get through the wormhole and find the one that you want, right? To use your point that you said earlier. So now to get into the real good stuff, I'm going to allow you to root in this world that we live in that I'm going to create for you. And going forward in the rest of your life, you're allowed to root for one sports team and one sports team only. What team would that be?
I think it would have to be, obviously I'm a Bills fan, originally from Buffalo, so it would have to be football, so it would have to be probably the Bills, unfortunately. I don't know if that's the best.
I love that, yeah.
team to go with, but hey, I mean, yeah, we're one of the 12 teams that made the playoffs last year.
That's it.
The other 18 are sitting at home, so.
Yep.
But it has to be football. I'm a big hockey guy, too, football's, I mean, obviously, I don't miss a Bills game or a football game one way or another. I can't say that about all my other teams.
Yeah, no, I can understand. All right, so the Bills made the playoffs. So they kind of snuck in there, but it is what it is. They hadn't made it for 17 years, so they were bound to sneak in eventually. The question is, are they going to make the playoffs again in this season?
My expectation every year for the Bills the last couple of years is 0-16, so every win feels a little bit better. Last year, I'm glad that they made the playoffs the way they did. I was actually in Atlanta. My dad was with me as well, who's a Bills fan as well, and we were actually at a bar right near the Brave Stadium because we had the Peach Bowl the next day. I was there for, and I'm celebrating a Cincinnati Bengals win. That got the Bills in the playoffs, and everybody in the bar is looking around like, why are these guys celebrating the Bengals win? And what the hell is going on here? But I'm glad it happened that last minute and kind of had all that anticipation. Whereas I think after 17 years, if they would have like clinched in like week 15 or 16 on just a like blowout win, it wouldn't have been as exciting. So I'm actually kind of glad it happened there. And I was at that Bills playoff game. I wasn't going to miss that. Even though I had to drive 4.5 hours after the game to get to Atlanta for the national championship. But it was amazing that it was 30% Bills fans, at least in that Jacksonville market. If it was the other way around, you wouldn't see a single Jags fan getting in there because nobody was going to sell their ticket for anything, or the ticket prices were going to be so insane that no Jags fans were going to make it there. It was just amazing how many Bills fans made their way down or live in Florida. Like you said, half of Buffalo's population since the 50s is gone. So there's Buffalo fans everywhere. And a lot of that generation that grew up in the 90s, of course, as well, that just like the Bills because they're going to the Super Bowl every year. Kind of like there's Patriots fans magically everywhere. Or
magically.
Steelers fans for those generations, or Raiders, or whatever those teams are, they kind of, in those decades, kind of find people. So there tends to be Bills fans. I know there's this one place in Jacksonville I go every time, and for a golf course there, and the security guard there every time when I'm wearing my Bills hat comes over and he talks about how he's a Bills fan. I've ran into him three times and he's never stepped foot in the city of Buffalo, just been a Bills fan since the 90s. So like there's all those fans that are kind of everywhere, and it's amazing how that works and how once you kind of become a fan, most people kind of stick with that and no matter what. And I don't know, as far as playoffs go, it depends on how the quarterback play is and some other off the field issues with our number one player, hopefully that get cleared up.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows what's going to happen?
Came up in
there.
The last couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It just looks like you don't even know where to go with that one, right?
Exactly. But I mean, AJ McCarron's not a bad quarterback, and if LeSean McCoy is cleared of these allegations, I think that LeSean McCoy plus AJ McCarron is very similar to what AJ McCarron had in college with Alabama. That running, that strong running game, and quick passes and things like that. That Saban style team. And they obviously have Brian DeBole, or who was the Alabama offense coordinator, who just won the national championship. So I think there's that Alabama style offense that the Bills kind of play that could be pretty successful, but who knows?
Yeah, a lot of uncertainty, and they have the Patriots to deal with.
A lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, a lot of quarterbacks to choose from.
I can complain about the Bills all day long.
Yeah, we'll have you back for another.
Wish Josh Allen the best. I hope he can kind of develop. I hope they do it the right way this time. Don't just throw him out there like they did EJ Manuel, and can actually develop a quarterback. And
it's about time.
Be successful.
It's about time the Bills had a quarterback again. So now I'm going to bring you to the one moment, and I'm sure there's been more than one moment that this has happened. But when was the one moment you told yourself that you need to make it happen, and you gave yourself no excuse?
I don't know if there's that one moment stands out. I mean, there's in this business, there's a lot of things that have to just make. I mean, you have to make happen on a quick basis, quick turnaround, things that come out of nowhere that you kind of just have to do no matter what. I constantly work constantly. I mean, it's constant 100-hour weeks, things like that, where you're constantly going 100% trying to get things done, especially in the football season. So I wouldn't say there's one thing that kind of stands out. I mean, it's been a long stretch between all the different businesses. Obviously I have the retail companies that are also in the sports world online. It's kind of been a crazy swing, but there's not really one moment that stands out. It's all kind of just been one constant motion of getting everything done and rolling along. And I mean, in the event business, there's no not getting something done. So there's definitely that level of hundreds of people, if not more, are counting on you to create that experience and make sure everything goes right. And there's always, you always have to anticipate something going wrong. So there's always those 1, 2, 3 little things. Hopefully they're little and not big, that are going to go wrong every event. So generally when I'm at an event, that's kind of my space, is to kind of sit there, greet everybody, make sure everybody's having a great time. Just wait for that message in my earpiece that something went wrong, and you kind of have to just jump on things all the time. Usually it's one type of alcohol going quicker than everything out of nowhere. There's no way to predict. It's usually all of a sudden everybody decided to drink vodka that day, and they're running short on something, which is a good problem to have, because you can fix it. But you never know what's going to happen. But there's always that you need to make things happen and let it roll. And I've done some of those quick turnaround things, or some potential partnerships where you just jump on the next plane or whatever and go try to make something happen. But can't get into too much detail there, because there's a lot of things that are in the works that have just kind of happened that aren't out to the public yet. But my best example, I can't really discuss on a non-disclosure right now. So
yeah, I got it.
But definitely.
Well, you have it every day then, right? I mean, you're in that event business, like you said, and there's not a moment where you can let your guard down, and you just got to keep going. And we appreciate you sharing that and just, you know, being upfront and honest about it. And all I would say is, if you're ever in Buffalo and you're running a tailgate, you know not to run out of Labatt Blue, and you'll be okay, right? I think life will be okay as long as the Bills field a team in Buffalo. People will be happy. So Well, John, appreciate you sharing all this. Like I said before, spending time with us. I know you're busy. I know you got a big thing happening right now in your business. So, giving any time to us, we appreciate it. What's the best way people can reach out to you and learn more about your business?
Yeah, definitely. So obviously the best way for any of the businesses is to just go to our website. So for the sports hospitality and events, just go to gamedayhospitality.com. If you're one of the guys that likes to tailgate on your own, we have my original company is tailgategiant.com. We have over 45,000 tailgating products, everything you possibly need. So go check it out, tailgategiant.com. If you're one of the guys that kind of hangs or out or girls that hangs out and watches it, from home, we have mancavegiant.com. That's over 90,000 man cave products. So from furniture and everything you could possibly need for team branded stuff, everything possible. So whether you're sitting at home watching the game, you're tailgating on your own, or you're looking for that great experience, we have you covered. So definitely check that out and follow all of our social media. It's pretty easy to find. Just search Game Day Hospitality or Tailgate Giant or Man Cave Giant. And check it out. Hospitality wise, chances are we're growing closer to your market or are going into your market. So if you like any of the teams we mentioned or your team's playing one of those teams, let us know. But we are doing a lot more events and we're constantly adding different events to add. I think this year we could be doing as many as four of the five major conference championship games for football. So there's a lot of opportunities there for people all over the country to for their teams to make some of our events. So definitely just check out our social media and check out our websites.
Outstanding, John. Well, we appreciate it. We'll definitely be checking it out. We hope to get to an event here early in the season and learn more about it and experience it. So thanks again for being on the podcast and best of luck to you and your business.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
John, it was absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From your knowledge of the sports world to your business building hustle, we know entrepreneurs can learn from you. The perspectives from John on his journey of building his own business and helping sports fans express their passion are now perspectives you as a business owner and entrepreneur can use for yourself. And for that, John, thank you. And for anyone looking to talk to John about his story or to learn more about his tailgating business, we encourage you to reach out to him. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter and Instagram at Eric_Kaz. Thank you for listening to our KazSource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. This podcast exists in large part because of KazCM, the content marketing business inside KazSource Inc. KazCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at KazSource to you. Learn more by visiting kazcm.com. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's a big deal to us. We hope you found value in it. And if you did, we would be incredibly grateful if you gave us a review on iTunes. Remember to subscribe to this podcast and feel free to share it with anyone you know. More than anything, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it.